These are challenging times, but you don't have to navigate them alone. Welcome to How Can I Help? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz. I'm a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, a psychoanalyst, and best-selling author. And I'm here every week to answer your most pressing questions, hopefully with understanding, insight, and advice. Obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD, is a mental disorder that, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, affects somewhere between 1 and 2% of all people, interfering with their daily lives. The numbers may actually be higher than that, as OCD often goes unreported. So today, I'm answering a question I got about a person who's struggling with OCD. Obsessions are uncontrollable thoughts, urges, or mental images. There are a wide range of types of thoughts one may have when one has OCD. Sometimes they are rational thoughts, and sometimes they're irrational. For example, they may include being convinced that something is contaminated, that only even numbers are safe or comfortable, or that one must do or check certain things for oneself or for other people to be safe. The thoughts usually fall into one of several categories, having to do with either a fear of germs, a fear of unwanted or aggressive thoughts, religious thoughts, or a desire for symmetry or perfect order. A typical OCD thought is a fear that bad things will happen if precautionary routines are not performed. The repetitive behavior that the person feels must be done to manage the obsessional thought is what is called a compulsion. Compulsions are typically some form of cleaning, ordering things, checking, or counting. Examples are tapping a door twice before opening it and feeling you need to do that to make sure you or someone else stays safe, or entering a room with the right foot first, elsewise something bad might happen. These thoughts and acts can fall under the category of superstitions, but when they are taken to an extreme and become so repetitive that they take up more than an hour per day and disrupt that person's ability to function well in their day-to-day life, then they fall into the category of OCD. People with obsessive-compulsive disorder understand that their thoughts and behaviors are excessive, but they can't stop them. In addition, they know these thoughts and rituals don't really make sense, but they cause them suffering nonetheless. OCD typically begins in childhood or adolescence, though it can start in adulthood. There seems to be some genetic component of OCD because there is a higher incidence in the children of a parent with OCD, and we do see that first-degree relatives are more often affected. There is also evidence from multiple studies that there are brain structure differences in people with OCD, specifically in the area of the brain called the frontal cortex, and in subcortical structures as well. Yet, it is not clear exactly what the causes are and what these structural differences may mean. There are two common methods of treating OCD. The most common method is psychotherapy, but it can also be treated with medication. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is a common and effective treatment for obsessive compulsive disorder. The purpose of CBT is to disrupt the cycle of compulsions being performed and thereby slowly stop reinforcing the obsessions, which should decrease over time. This therapy is typically done in an office with a psychologist once or twice a week. However, tasks are also assigned for the patient to carry on their treatment daily at home. CBT has proven effective for almost half of OCD patients, and CBT strengthens other circuits in the brain and trains the brain to be comfortable not giving in to the compulsive task. This can prove to be very challenging for patients who've had OCD for a long time, because the circuit pathways have been strengthened over time and are therefore harder to break. The CBT works when opposite pathways are used enough times that they become stronger than the obsessive-compulsive disordered pathway. An example of this is not washing your hands, despite having the urge to do so. Doing this repeatedly for increasingly longer periods of time as the patient can tolerate it. Over time, the urge to wash decreases, and then later, the thoughts or obsessions about contamination will also decrease. Another way that OCD is treated is through medication. A common medication used is the class of drugs called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. When given in high doses, this medication can make it easier for patients to perform the cognitive behavioral tasks they're learning in therapy that strengthen the opposite circuits. SSRIs work by blocking the reuptake of serotonin, a neurotransmitter in the brain that is available in the synapse in the presynaptic neuron, the place where two nerves basically talk to each other, thereby increasing the amount of serotonin left available in that area, effectively raising serotonin levels. Serotonin, this neurotransmitter, which is a chemical used for communication in the brain, particularly affects mood and anxiety, but also can affect obsessions and compulsions. SSRIs are typically used to treat depression and anxiety disorders, but when given in high doses, treat OCD. Some other medications may also be useful for OCD. Studies have shown that the best treatment for OCD is a combination of both medication and psychotherapy. The thing about treating OCD, and really all mental health issues, is it's very difficult. Sometimes impossible to do so if the affected person does not want treatment. So with that, I will get to our listener's question and see, how can I help? How Can I Help with Dr. Gail Saltz will be back after this short break. Dear Dr. Saltz, I have a good friend who I've known for almost a decade. She has OCD, along with both hypochondria and hoarding. When we first became friends, she'd wear short sleeves, sit on the same sofa with other friends, with no issue. But over the time I've known her, I've seen her relationship with these disorders deteriorate. It's gotten to the point that she'll only wear long sleeves, stand instead of sit, and she even Lysols her own hair if it touches the shoulder of her jacket. She used to wear her hair down, no problem, but not anymore. She's also nearly been evicted from her apartment because of her hoarding. Other friends have offered to refer her to professional help, but she's refused. I'd like to try to encourage her to get help also, but in an empathic, compassionate way that she'll be receptive to. I'm not sure how to approach this. Can you offer any suggestions? It's helpful that you can see this is a mental illness and not just someone being difficult, because it means you are able to be sympathetic and supportive rather than frustrated and annoyed at her behavior. That being said, it can be sad, disturbing, and frustrating when you can clearly see this friend is struggling with her illness, but unwilling to get any treatment that could really help her. As frustrating as it may be for you, I assure you, it is far more torturous for her. People avoid treatment for various reasons. One is that they feel that treatment is stigmatizing and feel that going to treatment is shameful and means acknowledging mental illness, which is further shameful. This, sadly, arises from years of a culture telling them that, or years of people around that are telling them that. Another reason is that they don't believe treatment can actually help them. They have a deep-seated feeling the situation they find themselves in is somehow unfixable. Or they may not have any insight into their mental illness and therefore don't really understand the thoughts they are plagued with are a symptom that can be treated. This happens to some degree because mental illnesses are illnesses of the brain, the same brain that houses judgment. And therefore, in some instances, judgment can be affected by the very mental illness that is plaguing a patient, making it difficult for them to understand what is happening is an illness. They may be afraid. Illness can drive paranoia for some people, and certainly anxiety. And the idea of focusing on the very thing that frightens them feels untenable. And so they avoid treatment. As her friend, all you can do is to try to address the possibilities. Discuss treatment as something you know other people do. Even bring in a real-life story, something that is not deserving of stigma, in your opinion. That if she, for example, had diabetes, you would help her to see a different kind of doctor for treatment. And that you see this no differently. That an illness is robbing her of joy and a comfortable life. And treatment is an appropriate thing to do with no shame. If you have ever gone to treatment, tell her about it. Or tell her someone else's story that you're allowed to tell about treatment. Real life stories can really help diminish stigma. Tell her that she will get to decide what she wants to do in treatment and not have to do anything that she doesn't want to have to do. Many times, patients are afraid that someone will force them into something they don't want, which of course is really never the case. Offer to help her find someone who specializes in treating OCD. Because often when a person is really ill, the idea of finding someone, of organizing themselves to seek and then get an appointment can really be overwhelming. Help her find someone, and even if need be, take her to a first appointment. In terms of her understanding that much of what is happening to her now is illness and treatment can help her, bring her a book or two on OCD that she can relate to. For example, one I often recommend is The Boy Who Couldn't Stop Washing, The Experience and Treatment of Obsessive Compulsive Disorder by Judith Rapoport. It's a classic, and it's really a story about people who have OCD and about how their treatment helped them. Reading about the experiences of others and noting the similarities can really help her consider her situation more objectively. But you should also know that sometimes it's not possible to get someone to get help. Unless you can see that her life is truly at imminent risk, in which case a person can be hospitalized, even if they don't want to be, there is no way to compel a person to treatment who is over the age of 18 and refusing to go. It's a very painful reality of serious psychiatric illness. Sometimes a person has to get worse and worse until they truly run out of any other option in their own mind. Hopefully, though, if you take on an empathetic stance, the I will help you do this thing, you'd be brave to do this thing, along with some information about OCD and treatments, she will allow herself to go. It may take time. What is not helpful is participating in her compulsions. For example, don't agree to help her clean or spray Lysol on herself, because even though she might feel better in the moment, performing the patient's compulsions serves to lock the symptoms in further because it makes them feel better in the short run, which drives more obsessions and more compulsions. And therefore, in the long run, this actually will make her illness worse. Remember, therapy only helps for people who ultimately agree to be helped. I hope this was helpful. OCD can range from mild to severe, and it can wax and wane during a lifetime. Hoarding can be part of OCD. High stress situations can set off a worsening period. While there is no cure for OCD, symptoms can be managed and greatly reduced with the use of psychotherapy and/or medication. Many successful people struggle with OCD, but they work to manage their symptoms so that they can participate to their fullest in their lives. Do you have a problem I can help with? If so, email me at howcanihelp@senecawomen.com. All senders remain anonymous. And listen every Friday to How Can I Help? With me, Dr. Gail Saltz.